Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and as always, you're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. My guest today is the life partner of someone whom I have called the modern-day Atticus Finch, Lynn Stewart. Our guest is Ralph Pointer. So let's get Ralph on the show, and I'll let him tell you why I call Lynn Stewart the modern-day Atticus Finch. Ralph Pointer, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Hey, how are you, Cindy? Always a pleasure to hear you and speak to you.
Well, one thing we can say, it sure hasn't been a boring week, has it?
Hey, it is tragic what is going on, but it's predictable. Under, you know, seeing if you look and see where America's been headed for a long time, it's extremely predictable. And more facts are coming out, you know, like to make it more outrageous. And when, but go ahead, Cindy.
No, it's okay. I don't mean to interrupt you, but
you're not interrupting me.
People always say, you know, Cindy, how come you always turn out to be right about or correct about things? And I say it's not because I'm so smart. It's just that I can read patterns. And if you can read patterns, there's if it's X, Y, X, Y, X, Y, the next one's always going to be an X, correct?
Exactly.
So it's just very predictable.
Yes. And when this Osama bin Laden thing happened, I said to my friends, what are they trying to hide this time? You know, like what cut are they, you know, like preparing us for?
And, absolutely.
And then I hear the congressional hearings, and boy, they're going to go at us this time. So we, you know, like got to prepare us, got to ramp us up to take these next series of cuts, because they're not going to touch the Pentagon budget. And so you know whose budget they're going to talk about. And it makes you almost feel sorry for the Pentagon when they start ramping this up. The idea that they shouldn't have all of the money they're getting, you know, to up the armies of occupation around the world. Make a grown man weep well and gnash teeth. And now I see you got the worst shock of all. And this Osama bin Laden thing, the Navy SEAL who killed him was black.
No way, really? Well,
the Navy SEAL
who killed someone. We're still not sure Osama bin Laden was killed again, because you know there's been wide reports of his death before, but you know we just found out before we went on the air that the White House will not release the photographs of what happened. I don't know if it's because they haven't finished touching them up to make them look more professional than the last one that they released. It was turned out to be a fraud or what. But I think that you're right. I think it is a distraction from issues that are very important and that really cause, Osama bin Laden, come on. He didn't make me hide under my covers, but what's happening to the environment, the wars, the assault on our freedoms here at home, and the assault on the poor and working class that's happening right now, these are issues that are really, really important to us. And so let's just get into talking about your partner, your wife, Lynn Stewart. Can you tell my listeners her story and what happened to her at the hands of this empire?
I certainly will. Lynn Stewart, you know, was imprisoned, and I say very clearly, for speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that there was no landmarks case. This is the Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, who was accused of planning to blow up New York City landmarks. Now, I've been a private investigator for 35 years, closer to 40 years. Done many cases, federal cases. I testified as an expert on the physics of many cases. It never happened. This was dreamt up by this government that we have as a side issue, a distraction. And I've come to the point of I don't believe a word they say about anything. And I like to put in front preface of everything I say that the government said was so-called evidence. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Osama bin Laden had anything to do with the 9/11. I don't believe that there are any weapons of mass destruction. I don't believe that we hear the truth about these international courts condemning people for genocide. They always condemn the wrong side, and I find that very interesting. And in Rwanda, you know, the gentleman who exposed that, they almost killed him. The secretary of Blair in London put him in jail for telling the truth. Lynn could blow the lid off of this so-called Landmarks case. She's in jail. Bradley Manning is in jail. Assange is in jail. And Lynn and I, when we were having a conversation from jail, I says, then what do you see the answer? And she says, the answer is tell truth, tell truth, tell truth. And the more of us who tell truth and look into all of these issues and tell the truth about them, it becomes impossible for them to put all of us in jail.
Well, what was Lynn Stewart's part in this case that you're talking about, the Landmarks case?
She was the lawyer for the blind sheikh.
Right.
And when Ramsey Clark, ex-attorney general, called her to his office to discuss her handling the case, her answer off the top of her head was, you know, I have 78 running cases now.
Mm-hmm.
No way I could do this. You know, it's she had a heavy load, and we've had instances where people in jail, rather than go to trial, would wait in jail for 2 years for Lynn and say, you know, with Lynn, I got a chance. With someone else, I do not. And this was how in demand she was, and this is why Ramsey Clark called her. And that one moment I have of shame in my political life was after listening to Ramsey Clark talk about this case. I said to Lynn, don't do this. This is very dangerous.
Uh-huh.
And I could see this back then, what was happening.
Right.
This, in America. And I said to Lynn, you are a great lawyer, but I have the experience of being black in America, and America is turning racist even more so than they were yesterday. And it is becoming anti-Islamic by the minute.
Right.
And by the time this case comes around, anybody associated with it will be in trouble. And then Lynn said she thought about it, and she says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn about the Middle East and do this. Are you with me? And I says, of course, 1,000%. And then I said, you know, back in 1962, when we got involved in trying to educate black children and fight the education system in the country, this was very dangerous. But I didn't say, Lynn, don't get involved in this. This is very dangerous. When she represented black and Latino political prisoners, I didn't say, oh, Lynn, don't get involved in this. This is very dangerous. These are all very dangerous cases that Lynn handled, and she did. When she got involved with the Weather Underground and the Ohio 7 people who were fighting against this government, I didn't say, don't do this, Lynn. So then I says, maybe I'm as Islamophobic as the rest of the country. And I'm saying, well, when Lynn said in her inimitable fashion, I'm going to do this, are you with me? Of course, I was with her. But this is the outcome. She found the truth, told the truth, and everyone opposed it. And the so-called, not everyone, let me take that back.
Right.
Many people. The so-called progressive community said, Lynn, don't associate with these people. Lynn, you know, and it was on and on, Ward Churchill. Lynn, don't associate with Ward Churchill. And it became more obvious to us every day that there is not much of a progressive community in America. They go for anything. Or they want to be a part of the empire rather than to change the empire. So we're
right.
This is our stance now. trying to associate and organize with people who want to change the empire, want to stop its intrusions into the rest of the world.
Well, Ralph, I totally agree with you, and I was warned, of course, early on after my son was killed and I started getting active to not associate with Lynn Stewart. But
right.
my whole thing is, well, what's right is right. And, you know, if we keep on, you know, pretending like these things aren't happening and don't do the right thing, and, you know, Lynn did the right thing and she needs support. She doesn't need people who, you know, for their political careers or their fundraising, don't want to be involved with her. So we just have to keep going forward and doing the right thing. But what was Lynn accused and convicted of? What was the quote unquote crime that she was accused of and convicted of?
She was accused of supplying her client Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman to the terrorist by the fact of her representation of him. And one of her answers to that was, well, I suppose the lady who cleans out his cell, he's blind and he's lost his ability of feeling because of his diabetes. So anybody who helps the sheikh, even though she's a lawyer appointed to do that,
right.
They found her guilty of supplying her client to a terrorist organization. Then they also found her guilty, listen to this, of conspiring to kill American citizens overseas. What American citizen? Nobody knows. Where overseas? Nobody knows. Nobody said mm-hmm. anything. But they found her guilty of it anyway. This shows you how they can ramp up a public in terms of who they want to make evil and who they want to make good. But when she was, is one of the things that came up in her appeal by Harold Faringer, that if everyone had listened to Lynn Stewart, could have saved themselves a lot of trouble, because now the world knows how bad Hosni Mubarak is. That was mm-hmm. the Sheikh's objective, to fight Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. And she could have saved the country millions, billions, mm-hmm. and trillions of dollars mm-hmm. and saved lives if they had just paid attention. But that was not the objective. The truth was not the objective. The objective was to have these fake, and I call them fake, terrorist cases. And each one is more laughable than the one in front of it. And each time you have one, I say to people, watch out, you know, like they're fainting with the fake left of terrorism, and they're hitting you with the right of economic destruction. And I look
absolutely.
And I see the continuation of the foreclosures, the millions of dollars lost. And now we're in the middle of the 50th anniversary of the civil rights movement. So now, and when I saw it, I almost fell down. I says, a black guy? Is standing in uniform for having supposedly, as you said, killed Osama bin Laden. Wow, what are they covering up? So, you know, the banks must be ready to go under today, because when they start with this news and you can't turn on your TV or your radio without some more nonsense, that's because we're going to get that right. It's coming down the middle, and we're looking the wrong direction. So Lynn is Lynn. She's
uh-huh.
a wonderful person, and she's similar to you in that she came from a community, and she said to me, Ralph, you had a head start on me. I had no idea
yeah.
America was as bad as it was. She
yeah.
was valedictorian of every class she was ever in. She was born in Brooklyn, grew up not 5 miles from Harlem, and when she came back to teach there as a 23-year-old woman, she didn't know Harlem existed. Well, that
mm-hmm.
was like, wow. And she, you know, being the type of person she is, she's the smartest, and she is the most moral. So she wanted to find out what this was about, and she did. And the moment she did, she became a great ally in the struggle for liberation, for education, for jobs, for minority people. So she's been on that for a long time. And I say, well, then I had a head start on you, being black in America, having lived through lynchings, legal and illegal, and police mm-hmm. killing. I know exactly what America is. And so we worked together since 1963, and it got very heavy, and she became more involved. She's not the type of person you can frighten off with threats of jail sentences. And so she's now in Federal Medical Center Carswell,
right.
in Fort Worth, Texas. So I visit her as often as I can, and we had planned visiting once a month, but we had friends who had said they would support my going wherever they sent her in the country. And I couldn't stay at the Hilton, but I could get space on the floor of a trailer someplace and be with her every minute. And Lynn says, no, you stay in New York and do your political work. If you can come see me once a month wherever I am, that's more than enough. And this is the courageous stand she's taken. And can I give you her address?
Well, I definitely was going to ask you for it so people could write to Lynn.
Lynn Stewart, Federal Medical Center, Carswell. Her number is 53504-054, Unit 2N, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. Now, this is on her website, lynnstewart.org. If you just go to the website, and if you don't ask someone with a computer to go, and this number is there. And this is what keeps her going. No, this, the people writing letters and her working for the people while she's in jail. She writes letters for every occasion, and so much so that she gets overrun with requests.
Uh-huh.
For statements, because she can speak. And one of the things that happened after she was sentenced to 28 months in jail, the Second Circuit reviewed the sentence because we had an appeal on the case and the sentence, and the Second Circuit reviewed the sentence, and their very words were this: even after Lynn Stewart was convicted, she continued traveling around the countries to universities and law schools, corrupting our youth.
Oh, my
God. And she must go to jail instantly, and her sentence must be increased. So I said to Lynn at the moment, I says, well, now you've gone to another level. I think it was Jesus Christ and Socrates were charged with the same things, corrupting our youth. I says, now you are in serious trouble, because when you speak, people listen.
Mm-hmm.
She has the ability to speak in a manner, and it is obvious that she's not a liar in the time of liars, the big lie, the federal government. It is
right.
obvious she's a moral person in a moment of total immorality. And she's a conscious person in the time of total unconsciousness. And the cases she handles, there is an ending. There's a beginning and an ending. And I was asked to speak for her out in Houston, Texas, to a guild group. And one of the things she had said, you know, the issue was how to defend unpopular clients. What are the problems? And her answer was, well, who is unpopular today may not be unpopular tomorrow. And we see this example of her handling of the case of the blind sheikh. Everybody was screaming, bitter, you know, he opposes Hosni Mubarak. Well, we now know, and now the government and everyone has been forced to admit that Hosni Mubarak was an outrageous dictator. And Lynn supported the man who fought against him. And then Lynn asked a lot of questions when she's doing things. Before the press, she lays it all out there. And she says, how is it that this man was a friend of the Americans when he was fighting the Russians, when he was a spiritual advisor to the people
Absolutely.
Fighting the Russians,
mm-hmm.
and now he becomes the moral enemy of this country when he never uttered a word against this country.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man of the Middle East. Lynn is an internationalist. And how is it that this government switched? Well, it was because of who he was fighting. This mm-hmm. government supported Hosni Mubarak. It had nothing to do with, they say, Lynn became a supporter of the Sheikh's fundamentalist religious ideas. Well, Lynn said to me one day, she says, you know, Ralph, I was raised in America. I'm Irish, English, Swedish, German, and I had enough Christian, and she was raised in the Dutch Reformed Church.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I had enough religious fundamentalism to last me two lifetimes when I was 14 years old, and I didn't know anything about Islam. Fundamentalism is not her thing. So
right.
suddenly the government or the newspapers paint her as a fundamentalist. And I always laugh and I say, well, Lynn, you represented Sammy the Bull Gravano. This was a mafioso don who admitted to 19 murders, who
uh-huh.
brought down John Gotti. And Sammy the Bull Gravano said Lynn was the greatest lawyer he ever had. And I never heard anyone accuse her of being a mafioso.
Right.
You know, they says, well, Lynn is, you know, like Lynn is just one of those great lawyers. And
right.
when in the early years, when she was accused of helping young black and Latino drug dealers, you know, in their cases, they say, Lynn, how can you work for these people?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, America is a criminal enterprise. They've denied these young people an education. And when they get me, they get two things. They get political representation. Legal representation and political education. And she would send me to talk to these young men about their activities in an instant, in the bat of an eye, in the New York moment. Ralph, go talk to this kid. He's off on the wrong foot. I'm going to
uh-huh.
work to get him off, and you get him involved into the right, you know, like a political stance. And one day she says to me, the problem we're having here, Ralph, is with so many people in America, they do not want to beat the empire. They want to be the empire.
Yes.
So here we are all in our space. Things are getting worse by the minute, and
right.
we're afraid to give up our space. We want to enjoy this a little longer. So it's a very sad moment. And Lynn is doing her work. She's starting an innocence project for the women in Carswell. She says some cases of women in jail and no threat to society should not be there but for a decent lawyer. And they're rotting in jail and their children
Absolutely,
are whatever
yes.
outside.
Yes.
And so she started a project of telling their story. And, of course, I'm in New York. Lynn's in New York. There are people ready to do it. And I hope they don't put her under the jail when they realize this, that she's putting out, and we're looking to put seven plays on,
mm-hmm.
or a play with seven stories of the most outrageous situations that women are in. And I'll finish with this. We were sitting in the visitor's room, and the children had come in to visit people, and she says, well, these women and children are paying the price now. But she says, in a few years, when these young people grow up, the nation will pay
Society.
The price.
Society,
and it,
for sure.
So,
Ralph, you and Lynn, whenever I see you, and I did get a card from Lynn from her prison cell. Always very upbeat, always very positive. You two always have a huge smile on your face. And after everything, you know, the bombardment that you two have been under, you know, for years now, decades really, how do you keep this positive, such a positive spirit? And people, you know, ask me the same thing, you know, how come you can even get up in the morning? What keeps you two going?
Well, as Lynn says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and many people
mm-hmm.
say that. But in all of the time we went to jail to visit political prisoners, and this used to be our passion, we used to take a month off every year and visit, you know, our drive around, visit political prisoners, and she used to say, isn't it amazing that when you come away from the prison after having visited a political person, you feel better. They pick you up. And somehow, this stress does make you better. And when I leave the prison, you know, after visiting Lynn, it is always a pick-me-up because she is... It has opportunities, she says, as to get real about what this society is. And when you're outside, all of us have so many distractions to be involved with, but when you're inside, you see raw America. Yep. And how do you tell a gauge of a society? Look at its schools and look at its prisons. And she says, she always says she has had the most wonderful life, and I assume as you have, being a part of white America, middle class, so-called middle class, striving to be middle class white America, she says, I never had a vicious moment. And she says, and now, she says, I begin to see people who have had vicious moments all their life. And she says, this phony issue of torture. You know, America has been torturing, you know, ever since its inception. And now people say, oh, you know, there's torture. She says, torture, genocide. You ever look at the manacles, the shackles? We were never able to afford the manacles and shackles that we would like to buy on auction as an example of what the slaves had to tolerate. And so we just have pictures. And Lynn tells everybody, hey, we thought we were going to win this social change. We thought we were going to win the revolution. You didn't have time to save money. Just straight ahead with all the money you had. And she did cases, big-time cases, for big-time money, but then she did political cases and cases of the people who were deprived of making money for free. Mm-hmm. She would do a murder case, a kidnapping case, which requires great time, and she did them for free. And this was the type of person whose career that she felt they couldn't take that away from her. And she was not going to let them take that away from her. And that became very clear that she was going to tell the truth about this government, come what may. And now they're doing their worst. And she says, our job is to stick with it, to do our worst, which is to tell it like it really is. And,
well, that's why I call Lynn the modern-day Atticus Finch, although she's a real person instead of a fictional person. And so, Ralph, on my website, we will put the address that people can write notes and cards to Lynn. And also, you can donate to her commissary fund from your website, too. So we'll link to her website. But can you give that website one more time?
Yes, it's Lynn Stewart. Federal Medical Center, Carswell, Carswell, 53504-054, Unit 2N, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. And I will say to you, Cindy, keep up the good work, because I know it gets tough, but you have passed up so many of the so-called progressive pundits and union members who claim to be lifetime fighters against the evils in this empire, the evils in this republic, and you're way ahead. Keep up the good work. We look forward to hearing your voice, to seeing your demonstrations, et cetera, and keep Lynn Stewart in the back of your mind, lynnstewart.org. And we have all of the information up there. I could go on all day long about her history, but the people will find that out soon too. Because
she's not often far from my mind, and I think I feel worse for her than she does for herself sometimes. But you know, and I think also that we need to keep all political prisoners at the forefront, not just Bradley Manning. There's many, the world is populated with political prisoners, and there's many here in the United States. And I'm glad that you and Lynn never forget that. And you always look for, you know, how you can make the world a better place outside your own sphere of influence. And I think that's very important.
Well, Lynn's final words to me are, Ralph, look out for me, but don't forget those other political prisoners, starting with Mumia. And she, we go right down the line.
Right.
Political prisoners, we're members of Jericho. And before she got into this, I had mentioned that was our vacation in August. We would travel around the country speaking to political prisoners, you know, doing our best for them. And now she's a political prisoner. And I told a member of a family, I says, you know, I always loved you people, but I never wanted to be of you people. And here I am, family of a political prisoner, and proud of it, not happy about it, just proud of it.
You give Lynn all of our love from me and from Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. And Ralph Pointer, thank you for your work, and thank you for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox today.
Thank you for inviting me and giving me this opportunity.
Okay, love and hugs.
Love you, love you, love you.
Okay, back at ya. That was our special guest today, Ralph Pointer. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you go to Lynn's website. I hope you write her. In the note that she sent me, she said the more cards and letters she gets, the better her treatment is, because the people that are incarcerating her illegally know that people on the outside are watching, and we know that she's there. So please drop a line to Lynn Stewart. She's done so much for us. We have to give back to her. Well, that's Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox for today. I'd like to thank, as always, my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my producer, Mikey, my guest, Ralph Pointer, and you for listening. We're going to end the show today with a monologue from one of my favorite movies based on my all-time favorite book, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. Here's Atticus Finch, played by the wonderful Gregory Peck. I'll talk to you next week. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and you've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
To begin with, this case should never have come to trial. The state has not produced one iota of medical evidence that the crime Tom Robinson is charged with ever took place. It has relied instead upon the testimony of two witnesses, whose evidence has not only been called into serious question on cross-examination, but has been flatly contradicted by the defendant. Now, there is circumstantial evidence to indicate that Mayella Ewell was beaten savagely by someone who led almost exclusively with his left. And Tom Robinson now sits before you, having taken the oath with the only good hand he possesses, his right. I have nothing but pity in my heart for the chief witness for the state. She is the victim of cruel poverty and ignorance. But my pity does not extend so far as to her putting a man's life at stake, which she has done in an effort to get rid of her own guilt. Now, I say guilt, gentlemen, because it was guilt that motivated her. She's committed no crime. She has merely broken a rigid and time-honored code of our society. A code so severe that whoever breaks it is hounded from our midst, is unfit to live with. She must destroy the evidence of her offense. But what was the evidence of her offense? Tom Robinson. A human being. She must put Tom Robinson away from her. Tom Robinson was to her a daily reminder of what she did. Now, what did she do? She tempted a Negro She was white, and she tempted a Negro. She did something that in our society is unspeakable. She kissed a black man. Not an old uncle, but a strong, young Negro man. No code mattered to her before she broke it, but it came crashing down on her afterwards. The witnesses for the state, with the exception of the sheriff of Macon County, have presented themselves to you gentlemen, to this court, in the cynical confidence that their testimony would not be doubted. Confident that you gentlemen would go along with them on the assumption. The evil assumption. That all Negroes lie. All Negroes are basically immoral beings. All Negro men are not to be trusted around our women. An assumption that one associates with minds of their caliber. And which is in itself, gentlemen, a lie. Which I do not need to point out to you. And so, a quiet, humble, respectable Negro who has had the unmitigated temerity to feel sorry for a white woman has had to put his word against two white peoples. The defendant is not guilty, but somebody in this courtroom is. Now, gentlemen, in this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal. I'm no idealist to believe firmly in the integrity of our courts and of our jury system. That's no ideal to me. That is a living, working reality. Now, I am confident that you gentlemen will review without passion the evidence that you have heard, come to a decision, and restore this man to his family. God, do your duty. In the name of God, believe Tom Robinson.